This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, for He is the most entitled of our praise and our gratitude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance in our affairs. We ask Allah for forgiveness for our mistakes and shortcomings. We ask Allah for guidance. And we ask Allah for protection from all evil. We testify that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship exclusively alone. And we testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final prophet and messenger. We beseech Allah to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations, as well as his family and his companions and all of those who follow his sunnah, his perfect tradition, until the end of time. It is important that we begin by reminding each other to renew our taqwa of Allah, our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our concern and attention to make sure that we do not do anything that is displeasing to Allah. Allah commanded us to have taqwa of Him in the Qur'an as it is His right upon us. And to ensure that we do not die except in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our creation and everything else in existence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created also for us a way of life. that is perfect and complete in every way. And of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatest blessings upon us is that He has bestowed upon us a mechanism and a means to always be connected to Him. There are some ideologies out there that would like to convince you that a supreme creator created creation and then just left them to a system of their own design. But that's not what Allah teaches us about Himself in the Qur'an. In Surah Al-Rahman, which is beloved to so many believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said of Himself, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every single day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is involved in the affairs of His creation. Every single time the sun rises and sets, every single time there is a change in season, every single time there is any event that takes place in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware, and it doesn't happen except with His permission. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a single leaf falls except that it does so by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having established and reminded ourselves of that fact, we must also be reminded of the importance and our need to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. And of that mechanism that we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with is dua. It is conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referred to sometimes as prayer or supplication. It is a conversation with Allah. It is a means of being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to get too much into the do's and don'ts or the how or different rulings or even the importance of dua, because I'm assuming that we all recognize that it is important. But perhaps if we can spend a few minutes together today just pondering deeply upon this act of worship of dua, and how it is so important and relevant with respect to being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost, we need to understand our position with respect to our Creator Allah. We need to know who Allah is, and we need to know ourselves, and we need to understand who we are with respect to our Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so clear in the Qur'an. In Surah Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha an-nas, O human beings, O mankind, all of you. Allah is addressing all human beings, whether they are of those that submit to Allah and believed in Allah and obey Him, or even those that rejected and refused and don't submit and they are disbelievers, they are still under this category of an-nas, of creation. Allah says to all mankind, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O human beings, all of you, listen carefully. You are fuqara. You are in a state of poverty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And poverty here does not refer to our material wealth, but rather it refers to our iftiqar, our need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the human being chooses to admit and recognize or not, the human being is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something in our best interest to recognize and come to terms with and find peace in life through this belief. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Allah warns us from being arrogant and being heedless to this fact. Allah says, if Allah wishes, He could do away with this entire creation and bring about another creation from brand new. Just like He created us and everything else in existence, it is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that again. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. Allah concludes the verse and reminds us, this is not anything difficult or big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is difficult for Allah. So we are in a state of need. And when you think about the act of worship of dua, This conversation with Allah, this activity of dua, embodies and fully encompasses this aspect of need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just think about it. When you ask someone else to fulfill a need of yours, sometimes the human being doesn't want to ask others for help because there is this pride or there's this ego. They don't want to necessarily humble themselves, or perhaps they don't want to look bad in front of others or look like they are in a state of need. Perhaps we can live our lives doing that with each other, with other human beings. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our true wealth lies in recognizing that we are in need of Allah and turning to Allah for our needs. And that's why ibadah, which we often translate as worship, but really it refers to servitude. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about dua, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." Some people may repeat a narration that dua is the bone marrow of ibadah, but that actually is a very weak, if not fabricated, narration. But an authentic statement of the Prophet ﷺ, which is even stronger in verbiage, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." This activity and act of worship of dua fully embodies ibadah, servitude to Allah. You are completely humbling yourself, expressing your need, expressing your deficiency, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. So the first thing we need to realize is this sense of need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The antithesis to this is very simply arrogance. What is it that holds the human being back from recognizing and admitting they are in need of Allah? It is this desire that the human being has to be self-sufficient. I can take care of myself. I am all of that and some. We call this the Qarunic syndrome. This man from Bani Israel, Qarun, who had a lot of wealth, and sincere people advised him, be humble, don't allow your wealth to lead you to arrogance. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي He said, everything I've amassed is due to my skill set, due to my abilities. He refused to attribute the goodness that he has to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What ended up happening to him? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ Allah caused the earth to swallow him and his estate and all of his property. To recognize that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the cures of arrogance. Subhanallah, how many times in so many different topics and discussions does this ailment and disease of arrogance keep coming up, keep rising? What's amazing about arrogance is in the Qur'an, Allah commanded us to make dua. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ Allah said, make dua, call upon me, I will answer you. Those that istakbaru, those that are arrogant, they cannot bring themselves to ask of Allah, their abode will be the hellfire. We ask Allah for protection. We have to recognize that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we are at a time of comfort. It's a shame if we have to wait for a calamity to remind us that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that say about the state of our hearts? How hard have our hearts become that it is only a disaster and a calamity that shakes us and reminds us that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet of Allah, Yunus, when he was swallowed by the whale and he found himself in layers of darkness upon darkness, and he called out, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Allah said, فلولا أنه كان من المسبحين للبث في بطنه إلى يوم يبعثون. Allah said about Yunus, if Yunus had not been past tense, had not been of those that remembered Allah and made dhikr of Allah in his time of comfort, in his time when his feet were firmly planted on solid ground, he would have remained in the belly of that beast until the end of time. And that is a messenger of Allah, Yunus. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to remember Allah at your time of ease. Allah will come to your aid and will know you at the time of your hardship. Let us not be so deluded and so distracted by the comforts that we enjoy today that we forget that we are in a state of need, iftiqar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to engage regularly in dua on a daily basis throughout our day and our night is a training ground and a reminder for this fact that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please come forward as much as you can so we can make room for those that are catching up. Please come forward. Some people may ask the question, well, you know, why do I have to make dua? There's a lot of people that live very comfortable lives and have whatever they want, and they don't make dua. They don't even believe in Allah. So why do I have to call upon Allah? Why do I have to make dua? Why are you telling me that this is something I have to do regularly? Well, who said dua is only a means of acquiring some material benefit? That's just one slice of the pie. First of all, dua is an act of worship. It is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also a means of expressing gratitude. Reflect on how the messenger would stand making dua to Allah in qiyam throughout the night until his feet swelled. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's already forgiven. If anybody did not need to make dua, it would have been the best of creation. But he still did that. Because he is teaching us that this is obedience to Allah. And is also a means of reward. Dua is not only a means of acquiring something tangible in our hands. If that's the only thing that we do in our dua is to ask Allah for things, then what does that say about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also, dua can also be a means of protecting and repelling from harm. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us and informed us that perhaps a person may be engaging in dua, asking Allah, and they do not get exactly what it is they asked for, but their dua is answered. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that dua by way of repelling and protecting them from harms that if they had not made that dua, would have afflicted them. So dua is also a means of protecting ourselves. Number two, dua is also a training ground for us to increase in yaqeen, in certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is especially relevant for us in a day and age and in an environment where we are surrounded and flooded with doubts all the time. And sometimes a person may wonder, how come previous generations before us didn't grapple or wrestle with these misconceptions and doubts so much as we are today? We have to think about that. Well, one of the things that we learn from our elders is how actively engaged they were in dua. I remember one of our teachers in Medina, a very elderly scholar who recently passed away. May Allah have mercy upon him and upon all of those who have passed. When he would be sitting in the chair of his lesson, as the questioner was asking a question, if you were close by, you would hear him whispering dua and dhikr as he's listening. He became addicted to dua and dhikr. His tongue became addicted to statements of calling upon Allah. And that is a good addiction. Addictions are generally bad, but this is a good addiction. This is something positive to be addicted to, that it becomes a force of habit, that our tongues make mention of Allah's name and call upon Allah, make istighfar, ask Allah for guidance constantly throughout our days and throughout our nights. Think about this idea of yaqeen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Udu'u Allah, call upon Allah when you make dua, be having yaqeen, wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba." Be in an attitude, in a mindset where you are certain and sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer this dua one way or another. Why? Because Allah promised. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who is more truthful than Allah? When Allah makes a promise, He never ever backs down from it. There is this idea of certainty, of yaqeen. In the Quran, Allah said, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for a person, there is no one in creation that can close that door off. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that something be closed, there is no amount of human effort that can open it. فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers from His grace and His bounties, no one can repel or turn that away. These ideas and concepts are repeated throughout the Qur'an. So we have certainty in the promise of Allah. And to constantly call upon Allah with that attitude strengthens yaqeen, strengthens certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His promises. Even in our salah, Rasulullah taught us when we rise from ruku', when we rise from bowing, to make a special dua. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd minka al-jadd. Oh Allah, no one can hold back what You have given. And oh Allah, no one can give what You have decreed to be held back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the companions in their young age, لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ مَا كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكْ لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ. If every single human being and every single jinn gathered to harm you with something that Allah did not decree upon you, or to benefit you with something that Allah did not write for you, it won't happen. It won't happen. Advancements in human ability and technology has caused us to forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malikul Muluk, the King of all kings. وَسِعَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That Allah has encompassed everything in His knowledge. And it is only when we realize and we remind ourselves, for example, through the active worship of dua, that we are in a state of need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when we will find true wealth. إِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. The Prophet said, true wealth is the wealth of the soul. And that only happens when you make an investment into recognizing your poverty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Repent to Allah, for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صلي وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. After thanking and praising Allah and beseeching Him to shower our messenger with compliments and salutations, let us remind each other yet again on this blessed day of Jumu'ah and on this blessed gathering in this blessed place that we renew our taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. The command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the nations before us and to our ummah is to have taqwa of Allah azza wa jal. The third dimension of dua, that when we think about this act of worship we realize, is how dua instills within the believer a sense of positivity and optimism. And this was a character trait of our beloved messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He was described, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ يُعْجِبُهُ الْفَأْلُ الْحَسَنُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was positive. He wasn't negative. He was optimistic. He wasn't a pessimist. And he used to like to interpret what he saw as good signs, as indications of good to come. He taught us, alayhi salatu wa sallam, to have حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ, to expect and assume the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the act of dua, the worship of dua regularly, trains a person to expect the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wife of Rasulullah, our mother Aisha, teaches us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَلُوا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Ask of Allah everything. Of course, the scholars commented on this and they said, everything good. It is not appropriate for a person to make dua for something evil or something harmful to take place to themselves or to others. But anything that is good or positive, ask of Allah. Some people, they have this notion or this idea that dua should only be reserved for big things, for important matters. But the Prophet ﷺ in this narration, he continues, even your sandal strap, if you need help with that, then ask Allah for it. Because if Allah does not make that achievable and easy for you, you won't be able to accomplish it. Even something so minuscule as your sandal strap, rely upon Allah. What does this teach us? This sets a foundation and it instills within the believer to always rely upon Allah, to always be in a state of need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized so often throughout his life, teaching us du'as, teaching us supplications, so that we have this idea of positivity, of optimism, expecting the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Finally, in conclusion, there is something so beautiful in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correlated between His names and between the act of worship of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah said, to Allah belongs the most beautiful of names. So call upon Him with these names. We are in a great need of knowing who Allah is. And the best way to get to know our Creator is through His names that He has informed us of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how He is as-sami', the all-hearing. None of our du'as go unheard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how He is al-basir, the all-seeing. Nothing escapes the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what we have done, Allah is aware of it. Allah told us He is al-alim, the all-knowing. Whatever secrets we may harbor within us, you can't keep secrets from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How else can we get to know Allah if it isn't through His names? And Allah said in the Qur'an, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. So call upon Allah with these names. Allah loves for us, for His creation, to call upon Him with these names and attributes. That is something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and earns the believer great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not only create us as physical bodies, but within this physical body of ours lies ruh, a soul. And it is not tangible, it's not physical. You can't smell it or touch it or taste it. It doesn't have a color or a shape. But it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way that this ruh, that this soul is nourished, is by knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us keep our souls nourished through the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us remain connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this beautiful act of worship of dua. Let us begin our days with dua and conclude our evenings with dua. Let us fill our sujood with dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us fill our days and our moments of waiting and passing and traveling with dua, with supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the all-hearing, and Allah is the one who has promised to respond to the call of His believers. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ولا تجعل الأمر ملتبسا علينا فنضل. Oh Allah, show us the truth clearly as truth and bless us to follow it. And oh Allah, show us falsehood clearly as falsehood and save us and protect us from it. And oh Allah, we beg you to protect us from confusion that will lead us astray. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, we ask you for the best of this life and the best of the hereafter. And we beg you, O Allah, to save us from the torment of the hellfire. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid.